All right. Do you ever wonder what to pray for people? Do you ever wonder how to pray? You know, that's one of the most important things we do in our relationship with God. You know, if you really kind of broke it down, probably there's two foundational disciplines that you start with as a follower of Christ. And that one of them is the idea of just of praying, learning how to pray in faith. And another one would be what we call living in the Word, making the Bible an important part of your day, of your week, of your life. You know, in some ways, it's a little bit more tangible to grab your Bible and open it up and read a chapter every day, or a couple chapters, whatever your goal might be. That's a very tangible thing. You can read it. It's right there. You can read it out loud. You can read it silently. You can meditate on it. You can take lessons from it. You can seek to obey the Lord, follow the examples in the Word. That's a pretty tangible way to walk with God. And it's so important. It's so critical. Every follower of Christ really needs to be living in the Word. Okay, you probably know that, but that's vital. It's not like a checklist necessarily to feel like I'm going to avoid God's wrath if I check off reading the Bible today, as much as it is a way to gain intimacy and understanding of who God is. The other one, you know, maybe you would disagree with me on this, but I think prayer is a little less tangible. It's a little bit more intuitive, isn't it? How do I pray? What I know I want to pray for my family. Or I know I want to pray for my friends. I want to pray for the world. I want to pray for the different things that come to my attention. But it's a little bit less tangible than just opening up the Bible to the Gospel of John and starting to read chapter 1 through 21. Now, that's not to say it's not less important or not as important. It's vitally important, but I think my observation and certainly my experience as a man who's been walking with the Lord for a while is praying in faith as a routine, as a consistent discipline in the life of a believer is a little bit more elusive than reading our Bible. Maybe you agree with that. Tonight I want us to talk about the art of prayer. And I think this chapter 1, verses 15 through 19, will give us some good things to think about. So, how do you pray? I think we could all use a little bit of help. And, you know, this is really tonight, maybe we can focus this not so much on praying in a group with friends, although that's vital and we need to learn how to do that as well. It's not necessarily group or public prayer. Let's think about private, the discipline of devotional prayer. When it's just us on our knees or at our desk or in our bed or wherever we might happen to be, where we stop and we turn off all the distractions and we say, "Oh God," and then we fill in all the blanks. Let's talk about that kind of prayer tonight. I think it'll help us. So look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 19. I want to give some time to this tonight. Paul says, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe." Pray with me as we jump into these verses. God, we invite you to teach us to pray tonight. God, show us how to pray. Show us the essence, the simplicity, the intimacy. of prayer. God, we're ready for you to speak to us. God, I pray you'd use me as I speak. God, may your word, your voice be heard tonight. God, may the truth of Scripture be the thing that really lands on our hearts. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul has this relationship with the Ephesians. You might have been here last week when we kind of began to talk about that. He has invested fairly heavily in the Ephesian church. Paul is currently, as he's writing this, in prison in Rome. But he's aware of what is happening in Ephesians, or in Ephesus. And in verse 15, he's saying, I thank the Lord. I'm grateful for what God is doing in you. I know you guys, he says. Ever since I heard about your faith, he says, and your love for all the saints. Remember what a saint is from last week? A saint is anyone who's given their life to Christ by faith. If you've trusted Christ, you're a saint by the biblical definition. So he says, I'm aware. I've heard of how you're walking with God, and I'm blessed by that. And because of that, I pray for you. And so we see that he wants them to understand more. He's praying that they would grasp some of the deep things that are involved in their relationship with God. And so we're going to get a little bit of an explanation here as we look at this. I just want to do this in kind of a simple way. The question here, maybe to start with, as we look at these verses, what did Paul pray? I mean, if we're wanting to learn how to pray, maybe that would be a good question. As we look at the example in Scripture, what did Paul pray? And essentially, in the midst of all of this language, he prayed two things. Okay, you might want to write these down. I encourage you to take notes as you're listening. This is the one place that you should take notes without worrying about having to take a test. You know, no pressure, but when we write things down, we learn more. We remember better. And there may be a couple things tonight that the Lord would impress on you that you'd want to walk away with. So I just encourage you, come each week ready to write a few notes down. Bring a journal, just bring a blank piece of paper, whatever that is. Paul prayed basically two things. He prayed, first of all, that God would give the Ephesians, those believers, those saints in Ephesus, a spirit of wisdom and revelation. He prayed that God would give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And the reason for that is, he goes on to say, so that they would know God better. That's a great thing to pray for someone, isn't it? Pray that God would give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation so they might know God better. Listen, to know God initially is the essence of salvation. We don't start out knowing God. We might start out knowing a little bit about Him, and we might even gain a lot of information about Him. But when we eventually know Him, it's the result of salvation. It's the result of putting our faith in Him. So he's not necessarily talking about that. All the saints that he's writing to already know God. If you've trusted Christ, you already know God. What Paul's saying is, yeah, but I want you to know Him better. That should be our goal, shouldn't it? That we would know God better. So that's where he's going with this. To know God better has this implication of transformation, of life-changing intimacy, of the theological term, sanctification, that process that we go through of being changed, to know God better. It's this sense of devotion. Man, to know God, how do you get to know someone better? You do everything you can to be around them. You do everything you can to understand them. You long to be with them. It's the psalmist who says, oh God, you're my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. There's an ache in the psalmist, isn't there? God, I just want you. I have a hunger. I have a thirst. My body aches because I want to know you more. That's the kind of thing Paul is praying for the Ephesian believers. And so he wants them to know and experience God on a deeper, more intimate level. That's a good thing to pray. That's a good thing to pray. If we're thinking about how to pray for one another, Paul prayed that the Holy Spirit would work inside of them by way of granting them wisdom. What's wisdom? It's this discernible knowledge. It's not only knowing the truth, but it's that ability, that capacity to apply the truth effectively to whatever the situation you might be in, and especially in the area of prayer. So there's this idea of understanding wisdom or gaining wisdom, but he also says might give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Revelation is just this idea of unveiling, of exposing, of making something easier to know, better to know, or maybe more obvious to us. Who does that? God's Spirit. God's Spirit. Paul says, pray that God will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why? Because the result of that would be that you'll know God better. We need that. Oh, God, thank you that every believer, every man and woman who's ever given their life to Christ, who's ever trusted Christ, has the Holy Spirit living in them. Every believer has the Holy Spirit in them. We already have the Spirit. He's saying that the Spirit might give us an understanding, that wisdom and revelation, in order to be able to know God better. It's another way of saying that we would grow in our faith. So Paul prayed that, and when we know God personally through salvation, then he enables us to understand even more as we walk with him. Paul prayed first that God would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation so we would know God better. Okay, pretty simple. Second, what did he pray? He prayed that their eyes would be open. Verse 18, he said, I pray that your eyes would be open, that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened, is the way he put it. The eyes of your heart. It's kind of a metaphorical idea that there's this capacity to understand things that we might not see visibly, but we can comprehend, we can grasp spiritually. I pray that God would open the eyes of your heart. He'd enlighten your heart. When your spiritual eyes are open, you just become of spiritual realities. And you know, apart from God's Spirit working in us, we don't have that capacity to do that. We don't have the ability to open our own eyes. It's God's Spirit who does that. So Paul prays that. He says it in another way in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, where he says, however, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us through his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. So Paul's saying, oh Lord, would you open the eyes of their heart? Would you enlighten the eyes of their heart so they would see the deep things of God? Okay, open to what? It's good. He goes down and he says three things. Open their eyes, enlighten them, open the eyes of their heart so they can see spiritual realities of three different things. Okay, first he says, open their eyes to hope. In verse 18, that first part of verse 18. Open their eyes to hope, that you may know the hope to which he has called you. You know what? We need that, don't we? We need that. As followers of Christ, we need to be reminded. We need to know with a level of certainty, with assurance, with confidence, that there is hope. That our hope is not in our own abilities. It's not in our circumstances. It's not in even what others may promise. Our hope is in Christ. Our hope is in God. And he's saying that our eyes would be open to that kind of hope. that we'd have a sense of assurance, a sense of purpose, a sense of direction. That's the kind of hope. You know what? That's really what we hope, what we long for, isn't it? We often try to find that in tangible or earthly ways, but ultimately, that hope just comes from the Lord. He wants the saints, the believers, to live confidently in their faith, regardless of their circumstances, regardless of what they're facing. There's just, we need that. We need hope. So he's praying that their eyes would be enlightened, the eyes of their heart would be enlightened to know the hope to which he has called you. Good one. Pray that. Second, he says that our eyes would be open to the riches. Catch that? That they might know the riches of their glorious inheritance in the saints. Chapter 8, verse 18, just the second part of that. That they would know the riches of their glorious inheritance in the saints. Did you know, as a follower of Christ, that you have a glorious inheritance? A rich? Did you know that? Wow. We need to know that, that we would understand that. That there's this incredible thing that's happened when we came to faith in Christ, that we've got included in the inheritance. Paul in other places calls us co-heirs with Christ. We're heirs of God. That we would know that. Paul says, God, open their eyes so they would know the riches of their glorious inheritance in the saints. We need to know that. We need to hear that. We need to see that. Colossians 1:12 says, Paul goes on and says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of God. Whose inheritance is it? It's those who have trusted Christ. What's he referring to? In some ways, he's referring to eternal inheritance, that the hope of eternity. But he's also talking about the current, everyday knowledge and confidence that we belong to God. That we walk with the confidence and the humility that we're part of God's family. He adopted us. We saw that earlier in the chapter. Well, we're going to hit that again a little bit later. But he adopted us into his family. And when he did, it was with full rights, with full inheritance. Not something we've earned, certainly not something we would demand, but in humility, we need to be reminded of the hope that we have and the glorious riches of our inheritance in Christ. The third thing he says, God, open their eyes to power. Open their eyes to the power, that they might know God's power, his incomparably great power for those who believe. You know, Paul doesn't hold back on using strong words, big, hopeful, just huge words in terms of the dynamic, the scope of that. When he says the incomparable power, the incomparable power for those who believe, that's us. That's us. That we would know the power that God has given us. We need to realize it. We've got to realize it. When we realize, when we really start to open our eyes, the eyes of our heart, to this incomparably great power that belongs to us, we act different. We live differently. We live with that confident faith that says, God can do this. If he's called me to this, he'll empower me to this. I can live the life that God has called me to live. I don't have to be weak. I don't have to be falling into temptation all the time. I don't. God can give me that incomparably great power. God, open my eyes to that. That's what Paul's praying for the Ephesian believers. It's a powerful thing. He uses four words. If you look at verse 19 and then into 20, he uses four words. He talks about power and working and mighty strength. Those are all kind of part of that idea of that incomparable power. God's power is our power. And he says, God, open their hearts, open their eyes. He wants his friends in Ephesus to understand that divine, dynamic, mighty power is there. That's what he's praying. The same kind of mighty strength that you see in verse 21 that God used when he raised Jesus from the dead. That kind of power. Okay, so that's what Paul prayed. He just prayed two things. He prayed that they would know God better and that their eyes would be open. Okay? A few examples of that, but that they would know God better and that their eyes would be open. Okay, then let's talk about how we pray. The art of prayer. We can pray like that. Did you know that? You can pray like that. I can pray like that. Don't you want to? I do. I want to be able to pray biblical prayers. Sometimes it's hard to come up with the right words, isn't it? Especially if you're praying out loud with friends. It's hard to come up with the right words. And so we use kind of broader words. And that's okay. But what if we learned the art of prayer and we began to emulate Paul's examples of prayer? You know, the interesting thing about this passage is it doesn't command us to pray. Stop and think about that. Paul isn't commanding us to pray. No, he's just praying. Now, sometimes the best way to learn is to walk. Follow that example. He's setting an example. Yeah, there's other places, and in fact in Ephesians, where he's going to command us to pray on every occasion as the Spirit leads. Absolutely. I'm not saying that the Bible doesn't command us to pray, but in this case, we can learn from Paul's example. He's just praying. Sometimes the best way to learn how to pray, listen to me. Sometimes the best way to learn how to pray is to pray with that guy or that gal that's beside you. Just pray out and to listen to the way they pray. Not to copy them verbatim, but to just hear their heart. None of us are perfect. Paul wasn't perfect. But sometimes it's just to sit there and hear the prayer. Let me say this. When you're in a group and you're praying, there's a group time to pray. Don't hold back. Don't sit there and just pray intimately. I mean, it's okay to do that, but if it's group prayer, there's such a powerful edification that happens when your friends hear you pray. They agree with you. They resonate with you, but they also learn from you. If you never pray out loud it with your disciple or with your prayer friends, you're robbing them of an opportunity for them to learn how to pray. I challenge you with that. I know it can feel weird, but what safer place to step out and take that risk than in a small prayer group? So I challenge you with that, and that's what we're doing here. We're literally listening in on what Paul is praying. And he prays just those two things. That they would know God better for spiritual growth, if you want to put it that way, and for eyes and hearts to be open. But don't miss this. There's a couple things here. In verse 16, he says, I have not stopped giving thanks and remembering you in my prayer. Ooh. Verse 17, he says, I keep asking. That's inspiring. That's challenging, too. I haven't stopped. I just keep asking. I keep remembering. I keep thanking God for you. I'm consistent. He's determined. There's a good example for us. What to pray? We got it. How to pray? Keep it up. Don't give up. Keep going. Keep praying. Keep asking. Keep remembering. Keep giving thanks. Don't stop. I haven't stopped remembering you in my prayers. We've got to learn. That's the way we've got to pray. You know, when someone says, hey, will you pray for this or that? You say, yeah, yeah, yeah. And you pray a quick prayer right then. That's good. We should pray right then on that occasion. But there's times in certain situations where we really, in our heart, we know that's something I should continue to pray about. You remember those times? Be like Paul and say, man, I just keep asking. I just keep asking. For spiritual growth, for open eyes, for whatever the need is. So I just want to kind of leave it there. I want it to be simple tonight. The art of prayer, in this particular case, just following Paul's example, is just pray that God would open eyes, but also that He would give the ability to understand and know God better, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and He'd open eyes to understand them. What if we prayed for each other like that? You know, sometimes like I need to pray for my friends, I don't know what to pray. And so, again, not a bad thing, but we could probably get more specific than simply saying, God bless. Now, that's a great word. We're going to study that word a little bit later. Blessed. It's a great word. We should pray that for people. But sometimes we could get even more specific. What if right now, in fact, I want to invite you guys right now to pray. Okay? Everybody just, I'm going to guide you a little bit. I'm not going to ask you to do this out loud. But I'm going to ask you to think about at least one, maybe two friends that you have. And I'm going to ask you to pray simple biblical prayer like Paul. You can do it. You can do it. I'm not asking you to pray out loud. I'm not asking you to stand up. I'm not. Just close your eyes, bow your head here in just a minute, and just ask on their behalf, whoever they are, name them in your prayer. God, I pray for spiritual growth, that they would know You better. You'd give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation, so they would know You better. You know what? If you're ever wondering, I'll just say this. If you're ever wondering what to pray for me, pray that. I want to know God better every day. You'll bless my socks off if you pray that. Pray that for your friend right here, just a second. And then also, pray that God would open their eyes so they would understand the hope, the inheritance, the riches of their inheritance, and the power that God has. I'll guide you through that. Will you do that? Think about how many people will get prayed for right here. Let this be our response time. As the band comes up, you guys will go ahead and come up. Band, go ahead and come up. While you guys are getting ready, and you guys join us as you come up here and pray for your friends as well. But you can do this. You can pray like this. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, and let's pray silently for one or two friends. Would you start out by simply asking God to give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that they would know God better, that they would grow in their faith, that they would gain intimacy with God. And for both of them. And also, I'm just going to keep asking. Tell God, I'm going to keep asking God that You would also open the eyes of their hearts. Open the eyes of their hearts so they would understand the hope that they have in Christ, that God, that You've called them to. That they would realize